Chapter 32. Linda returned to her little rent house in Cabot. Her friends rallied behind her, and Linda wanted to hire Sam Sexton, a criminal lawyer who was known to get his clients off. His office was in Fort Smith, and whenever any criminal court case was reported in the newspaper, chances were that Sexton was the attorney for the defense. Linda also liked what she heard about Eddie Christian, a young attorney who was quickly making a name for himself as a go-to guy if you needed an aggressive defense lawyer. But Howard insisted upon Engstrom, and she simply didn't have the stamina to fight him. She wanted to tell her side of the story, and she relived the events of May 16, 1981, over and over again. It still seemed like a dream, but she knew it wasn't. She had thought she would go crazy with the guilt of it, but when she'd turned up pregnant with a fourth child, she had realized she had to keep it together because of the new baby and the other boys. Before that awful night in May, Howard had taken Carl on a weekend Boy Scout camping trip. She and Howard had argued bitterly before he left on that Friday afternoon. Linda had accused him of having an affair, and she thought he only half-heartedly denied it. The signs were there, but she didn't have absolute proof. He had told her he would be more than happy to get a divorce, but then who would take care of her? He'd laughed and said, "Do you think your mother would let you move in with her? Not on your life, sister. You disobeyed her when you married me. Ruyanne doesn't like anybody to disobey her. Sam Hugh can slide by, but not you." The next morning, Saturday, Linda had awakened after a bad dream in which she was back at the orphanage in Kansas City, watching for her natural mother to come and get her. The dream was jumbled up with a bunch of other things. Sam Hugh riding in a little cart pulled by a pony, and Sheila Jackson, her one and only real friend who moved off to California. It's funny how a dream can affect you. She had felt melancholy all day, and when Grandma Martin called to see if Harry, the 5-year-old, could spend the night, she said okay. "I feel like I'm on vacation," she told Grandma when she arrived for Harry. "I can watch whatever I want to." But as that Saturday had worn on into evening, Linda didn't feel any happier. She'd fed the neighborhood cat that wandered by, the cat Howard forbade her to feed. On the spur of the moment, she had decided to drive to Van Buren. She packed a change of clothes for her and the baby and got in Howard's little red car, the car she wasn't supposed to ever drive because it belonged to his law firm and was written off as a tax deduction. But he'd taken the station wagon, and their other car wasn't safe to drive. Linda had felt almost happy driving to Van Buren. She glanced in the rearview mirror and saw that Bobby was sleeping soundly. He hadn't stirred when she'd picked him up out of his baby bed and settled him in the back seat with his blankie. The night had been warm, but not warm enough to turn on the air conditioner. She'd tried driving with the windows down, but she'd been afraid the wind would wake up the baby. There hadn't been much traffic past Conway, and she'd listened to the car radio on the oldies but goodies station. By the time she'd gotten out of range for that station, she was almost to the city limits of Van Buren. She hoped her mother wouldn't already be in bed, and she practiced what she'd tell her about Howard. When she exited I-40 at the Van Buren exit, she headed up Highway 59. At the top of the hill, she'd turned left past the 3 rent houses her mother owned. Her brother lived in one of them, and the only light she saw in Sam Hugh's house came from a television in his living room. That had surprised her because he usually had parties on the weekend. She'd left the baby in the back seat for a moment until she got her mother to open the den door. She knocked on the glass, calling, "Mother, it's me, Linda." Her mother, clad in her nightgown, had opened the door slightly. Her hair had been set in pin curls. "For God's sake, Linda, what are you doing here at this time of the night?" she said, hissing the words. "I just felt the need to come home, Mother." Ruyanne had pushed open the door and motioned for Linda to enter. "Couldn't you have waited till morning?" Linda had realized then that it had been a mistake to come, and she'd fought back tears. For once, she vowed, she was not going to let her mother see her cry. "Can I come in, just to use the bathroom?"
"Where's that gang of kids of yours?"
Linda had lowered her head and whispered, "I just brought the baby. Howard took Carl on a Boy Scout trip, and Harry's at his granny's. Bobby's asleep in the back seat."
"I'm ready for bed, not ready for company."
"I'll just go to the bathroom, and then I'll go back home." "And waste the gas money?"
"You always do the craziest things."
"I suppose you had a fight again with Howard."
"I told you not to marry him.
He was a gold digger, thought we had a lot of money.
Thought he'd get prestige by marrying into the Park family."
"Well, you're not even a real Park. You just go back to dinky little Cabot and apologize for whatever made him mad."
"Please, Mother," Linda said. "I know I should have called first. It was just a spur-of-the-moment thing."
"Yep, that's right. Spur-of-the-moment, that's you. I got you from that orphanage on a spur-of-the-moment decision, and look what that got me."
Linda had gone into the guest bathroom and cupped her hands under the faucet, trying to wash away her tears. She dared not wipe her hands on the guest towels, so she dried them on the seat of her pants. She stayed in there longer than she should have, but she'd felt she was going to throw up. When she came out, she had walked outside to check on the baby, only to find he hadn't moved from the position she'd first lain him in. She'd walked back inside, through the den, and into the kitchen, where she thought her mother would be.
"Mother, where are you?"
"Oh, I'm back here in the guest room, fixing a bed for you and Bobby," she had called.
Linda turned and headed back through the den and down the hall to the guest room. Absent-mindedly, she had picked up a wooden gavel from the coffee table. It must have come off one of Sam Hughes' plaques.
"Mother, don't fix the bed," she said. "We're not staying."
Her mother sat at the foot of the bed.
"So now I don't have to make up this bed. Is that what you're telling me?"
"I told you I would leave, Mother. I'm leaving. And I'll never come back."
Ruyan Park had crossed her arms across her chest.
"Oh, you'll try to come back, but I won't let you in the door. I'll have the keys changed."
"You are just a misfit. You should have never been born. You brought three stupid little boys into this world, and they'll be misfits, too."
When she heard her mother make ugly remarks about her children, Linda had exploded with rage. She'd hit her mother on her head with the gavel she held in her hand. She hit her over and over again. She lost control. She had been in a rage, a blind rage. Powerless to stop, she'd kept hitting her mother until no more angry, vicious words came out of Ruyan Park's mouth. For some reason, and Linda would never understand why, she had grabbed her mother's ankles and dragged her into the den. Panting and almost out of breath from exerting every bit of strength to do so, she had gone into the kitchen, moving a kitchen chair away from a window and sitting down, trying to think.
"I've got to get home," she thought. "I've got to get home to Cabot. I don't have any choice. It's Howard or nothing."
On the way home, at the Mulberry exit, she had thrown the gavel out the window. And at 11 the next morning, she'd been sitting in her spot on the pew on the right side near the back. When the preacher had asked for a moment of silent prayer, Linda had pleaded with God to forgive her.
"She just backed me into a corner, God," she had prayed, her lips barely moving. "It was just a moment of blind rage."
And then, only a few days after her mother's funeral, Howard had figured it out. He'd checked the mileage on the little red car before he left for the Boy Scout trip and checked it again when he got back. For 6 weeks, he had constantly quizzed her. "Did you kill her? Tell me, did you kill her?" He'd used the best courtroom tactics he could muster up. Finally, she had just given in and confessed.
"Don't say a word about this to anyone," he told her. "It'll look bad on me. I've got my career to think about. Nobody will want to hire a lawyer whose wife killed her mother. You are never to go back to Van Buren unless I go with you. Is that understood? I don't want you getting all remorseful on me or anything."
Linda had told her husband she'd do what he said. She got up from the living room couch and went into their bedroom. He had followed.
and 2 months later, Linda dipped a pregnancy stick into a drop of her urine, and it read positive.